This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
The first reading today comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 121. So let us read that responsively. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps nor rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forevermore.
Our gospel reading today, prescribed to us by the Revised Common Lectionary, comes from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus was telling them about a parable about their need to pray continually and not be discouraged. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him asking, 'Give me justice in this case against my adversary.' For a while, he refused, but finally said to himself, 'I don't fear God or respect people, but there will be no end to her coming here and embarrassing me.' The Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. Won't God provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice quickly. But when the human one comes, will he find faithfulness on earth?'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right. Well, today is a very special day. In our church, we give out Bibles. We give out Bibles like this to friends who are in preschool when they're just starting to learn size, don't you think? It is. It can fit right in your hands, and it's got really good pictures. And at the end, it has questions that moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas or whoever's reading to you, you know what they can do? They can ask you a question, and then you can talk about the story. It's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. And we also have this Bible right here. This Bible we give out to friends who are in third grade. Anybody here in third grade? Yep. And in third grade, you know, when you first start going to school, you learn how to read. And you spend a lot of time on your letters and what the letter sounds make and what the words are and how to say those words. And then about third grade, you know what happens? Now you learn by reading because you already know how to read. Now you learn more by reading. Well, this Bible, guess what? Those words that Pastor just read, they're exactly the same in this Bible right here. This is the same words that will be read in worship are also inside here. But there's also some pretty cool things in here. There are. Let's try that again. There's also some questions in here that can help you think about and discuss what's going on in the stories. And that's when you go find a friend or a grown-up or a parent, and you say, I got some questions about what I just read. Can you talk to me about that? And then you talk about the story. So we give out these Bibles. I wanted to say, who knows what this is? Anybody know what this is? What is that, Sylvia? Isn't it? Yeah. Inside, do you remember when you were baptized? Some of us were pretty little, right? I don't remember when I was baptized. Do you? Are you little? And you're growing big and big and big. You are right. We do that, don't we? We start out little, and sometimes when we're... You're little too. And when we're little, sometimes our parents say, I would like my child to be baptized. I want my child to be a part of God's family. And you know what? You are. So you come and you're baptized, but even though you might not remember your baptism, Pastor says, will you, meaning all of the people here, will you help to teach this child about God and about God's love and about God's word? Will you help? And you say, yes. All of us do, don't we? Well, this is one of those things that we do. We make sure that they can learn about God's word in the story Bible and in the Bible, and that they can learn and grow. But it's just one book here, isn't it? What's more important is that you pray for these kids who are getting their Bibles today and their families, and that you ask them questions about their Bible and grow. So today is a very special day, and Pastor and I are going to make sure that you get your very own Bibles today for our friends who are three or almost three and our friends who are in third grade. Oh, that's a lot of number threes, isn't it? It is. All right. So.
May I offer a blessing on the Bibles before we hand them out?
Yes.
And everyone here.
We're going to pray for our Bibles, okay?
Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for these Bibles, for the youth that are receiving them. We ask that you bless the Bibles, bless them, bless their come to know you more and more, that they would ask the tough questions. Lord, we pray for all of those who will be reading these Bibles to the youth over the years, helping them to understand the stories of what it means to be your people. We pray, Lord, that you would allow us all to continue to read your word, that we would all gather together to share your stories, that we would gather together to ask the tough questions and to trust you so that our faith in you may continue to grow day after day. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said. The opening of today's passage tells us that the focus of this parable is Jesus' to not become discouraged. And then in the final verse of today's text, Jesus poses this question: when he returns, will he find faithfulness on earth? The disciples were apparently becoming discouraged about prayer, and I think we can all relate to that. There have probably been moments in all of our lives where we've been discouraged in one way or another about prayer. Recently, took our two dogs to the vet. As I was in there, everything went great. Two great big dogs decided they had been elected as the greeting committee for another friendly pup that was coming in the front door behind me that I had no idea about, and they took off and pulled me, twisted me around and lost my balance and kind of caught myself quickly, held him, brought him back. Everything was good. We all joked around about it there in the moment that, boy, why don't we as human beings greet one another the way our dogs do? Wouldn't that be so great? And we laughed about it and didn't think too much more about that. And then Saturday morning, I bent over to pick up a t-shirt and wham, I was reminded of an injury to my lower back, a little better, a little worse. There's a part of me that remembers back to when I was younger. When I was younger, in this moment, I would have been really frustrated with myself, and I would have been listening to those deceptive voices in my ear telling me, oh, your prayer life isn't strong enough, your faith isn't big enough, because you should just be able to pray and heal your back. Now, 30 years later, many, many situations and lots of theological wrestling with all of that, I realize there's something different. I don't get discouraged at this moment. This same injury is what moved me out of the automotive field, working on cars, and God used it to bring me into full-time ministry. It's there as a constant reminder, at least in my mind, of God's call on my life. Now, I've never claimed and won't claim that I have a perfect prayer life. I'm not going to say that my faith can't grow anymore. It can. It can for all of us. But I've learned that prayer and faith can't be compartmentalized. And they can't be useful to us. Are all interconnected, all the practices of our faith, whether it's reading scripture, prayer, healing, ministering to one another, singing, whatever it may be, they're all interconnected. We can't focus on just one practice as if it's the only practice that we need to focus on. They're all intertwined. I also want to be able to say that I've experienced situations where people have had the gift of healing power, of prophecy. These are gifts that they have, and each of us are given different gifts. Each of us are called to serve in different ways. That's where the Apostle Paul says, we are the body of Christ. Not all of us are hands or feet. Not all of us are the entire body in and of ourselves. It's together. Being connected together in unity. That's how we share all of the various gifts that God has given to us. That's the reason that we've been rolling out and implementing fivefold ministry here. Finding out what your gifts are. Not necessarily what you like to do, God. My gifts, I thought, were building things, fixing things. And yeah, I do have some gifts in that area, but that was my comfort zone. That's where I wanted God to use me. And God said, no, I've given you some other gifts. If you had asked me 30 years ago if I was going to be Reverend Doctor, Head of Staff, at a thriving church, ministering to thousands of people in the community in a multitude of ways, I would have laughed and said, no, not this guy. God knows you're even born. When we think of faith, when we think of prayer, when we think of any spiritual practice, we can't compartmentalize it, and we can't weigh it out like we would anything else. We can't measure it like we would fluid or length or width or breadth. When we think of faith, we need to think more about a consistent quality rather than an outcome quantity, especially when that quantity is something that we are setting as the goal. Faith is not a little bit harder than God's going to listen to me. That's not how it works. We need to learn how to pray, but we need to pray in a way that isn't the way that the world around us tells us we should be praying. To increase our faith, we need to focus on cultivating simple practices of faith. In the previous chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus told the disciples, "Do everything required of you without seeking any special praise, but only as doing your duty." Remember me preaching about that? To do justice, to embrace faithful love, to walk humbly with our God. I've mentioned several times that part of that command to embrace faithful love is offering forgiveness over and over. I've had several conversations after those sermons with many of you talking about how hard that is. It is. But that is our goal. That is what we need to continue to strive for. It's not something that we can do in our own power. There's no magical 3-step process or 11-step process that says this in community. And in today's text, we encounter what it really means to do justice, to prayerfully do justice, through the example of this widow and what Luke calls the unjust judge. Luke is inviting us to consider what it really means to do justice as people living out the kingdom of God here on earth now. For many familiar with Jewish scripture and the ideas of it, the judge's lack of any action is especially appalling. The people that would have heard this message would have been disgusted with that judge, counted among the most destitute of society, along with other vulnerable groups, like the poor, the orphans, the resident aliens. Because of the precarious social, economic position of people in these groups, the biblical texts also make provisions for them, helping to ensure that they do not fall victim to exploitation. A few examples, if you want to look them up, Exodus 22, Exodus 23, Deuteronomy 24, Isaiah 1. Throughout the whole narrative arc of Scripture, God calls and commands us as human beings to live in ways that show connection to one another, compassion, and that's connected in any form of relationship. Jesus specifically clarifies that this particular judge doesn't fear God and didn't care about anyone else. It was me. That's all that he cared about. The only reason that the judge even grants justice to this widow is so that he doesn't become embarrassed by her. Because it was what he was supposed to do, and if he didn't do it, eventually people would realize, hey, you're not being fair. You need to offer justice to her. This unjust judge is only concerned, uses him to be able to fulfill God's will. Jesus conveys the imperatives of persistence and actively relying on God as we await Christ's return. Even though our world seems to be unraveling and life in this world continues to be overflowing with injustice, we need to stress the importance of actively relying on God. The world we live in teaches us that it's all about you and me. That's it. That's not the message of the Bible. That is what the culture around us is at work. You need to be awoken to God's actions bubbling up out of the continual simple practices of Christian faith. Actively relying on God, it's not just sitting back saying, God, you know the prayers of my heart, hear them, and move on with your day. It's a shift that happens deep within. Luke maintains we are to be like that widow. We can't wait quietly. We need to be persistent, continue going to God. We need to resist injustice with the resolve that this widow had. In chapter 11, what we call, where he teaches what we call the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is not just a passive activity, but one that actively seeks God. And we don't think about that so much. We think about prayer as going to God to get what we need. And what we need may often be shaped in our minds as it's what we, as a community, as a nation, as a world, what we need, rather than pursuing what God's will is and focusing more on God. Jesus teaches us to pray, Abba, Father. Provide for us what we need for right now. Forgive us in the same manner that we forgive everybody who's wronged us. Protect us, keep us from giving in to temptation. It's all about God's power at work in us, through us, among us. There's nothing in the Lord's Prayer about fulfilling our personal desires. There isn't even anything about fulfilling the desires of the gathered community. We can come up with visions and goals and plans, but yet unless it's what God wants, it's not going to happen. Powerful prayer, mountain-moving faith, and persistently naming and claiming the promises of Scripture. Faith. It's not about just you and me. It isn't measured by membership or Sunday worship attendance. Those are outcomes of the faith that's being lived out, responses to the faith that is being engaged and experienced. The way that we glorify God, that's what's important. Giving all praise and glory to God. I saw an interview with a pastor in Madison talking to the church, and I was preaching to them, oh, we are so active in the community. We're active in the community. And then one day my mother told me, your church isn't active in the community. You are, but your church isn't. Ouch. But he took it back to his congregation because it was the truth. He said, I've been the one out there in the community. None of you are out there. Now, I'm glad that's not the case here. But that was his awakening and realizing it wasn't about him. It was about how do we empower everyone and teach everyone and in unity. And how do we do that to the glory of God, not to the glory of First Presbyterian Church or any of us? That is what being God's people is all about. It starts by persistently engaging in simple practices of prayer, reading Scripture, reflecting. I encourage you as you go out into this week, find someone that you can be accountable to and engage in some of these practices. Be accountable to challenge yourself to that next step. Read. Reread some portions of Luke, praying the Lord's Prayer and letting go of your desires, your so-called, so-perceived needs, and see where God is at work and how God speaks. Listen to the prayers of the other person that you gather with and listen, be sensitive to how God is transforming you from the inside out. When the human one comes, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faithfulness on earth? It begins by, come, Lord Jesus, find faith on earth in us as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years.